back here on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. This segment, we're going to kind of alternate and probably go through four or five of the top things we think the Saints still need to address. We have pretty much the same list, so we're just going to go off of it. We haven't what order this is going to be in, but you'll get the idea. So how about we start with you, Steve? Why don't you, what is the biggest thing you think the Saints need to look at?
I think a number one, you would agree. I would agree. I think fans agree. Probably the Saints agree is offensive line's got to be the biggest concern going into the season, just because of the situation you're in with some injuries. The fact that we saw the unit struggled a year ago, you're waiting for some top talent to come through, and a guy like a Trevor Penning who hasn't done much for, if anything, for you, and just an overall cohesiveness to that unit is needed to protect Derek Carr, because we saw him get, you know, walloped way too much last season, and give him credit obviously for playing, but I know the dude wasn't healthy last year and probably was a lot of his problems going for most of the season until the end of the year.
It definitely affected him. No, and the problem is, not only do you have questions on the offensive line, you have bigger questions than you did a year before, right? It felt like last year going in, you had some answers. Ryan Ramczyk was reasonably healthy. You were like Trevor Penning. He's going to be your starter. He's going to get better over time. And you ended up with Andres Pete playing better than I think anyone expected.
Who's still not signed anywhere.
Still unsigned, right? And so I think he's a guy who you look at and say, kind of break glass in case of emergency. The Saints, because they structured Chase Young's contract the way they did, they still have some money to throw around. So you could potentially go after Andres Pete. But I do think the tackles, specifically the tackles, you know, you have some questions at guard, but I think this team is hopeful that Nick Saldivari can be a player this year. He was always a redshirt guy. So he's a guy that I think no one really knows what to expect from, but I do think there's going to be some expectation there that he takes a step forward with his new coaching staff and goes from there. But yeah, Trevor Penning, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And if you don't feel like you are getting starting caliber left tackle play out of Trevor Penning, that's a problem. Because you saw what, I mean, Derek Carr, I think, did a pretty good job throughout the course of the season of avoiding sacks. You know, sometimes he would hold on to the ball too long and it would take a sack. But you look at the total overall sack numbers for the Saints, and they were pretty low, relatively speaking. They were not in the top half of the NFL. They were early in the season. I think he had 11 sacks through three games, something like that. And I think they ended up in the 30s. And I think a lot of that was Derek helping his offensive line and getting the ball out. And, you know, so he deserves some credit for that. But it's not good for your offense if the quarterback is having to make decisions based on, I'm going to get blown up if I don't get the ball out right now. You know, and that's one of the biggest factors in any game. And I think Dennis Allen said this is affecting the quarterback in some way, whether that is affecting him by giving him more time or whether that is you on defense affecting him by taking his time away. Whichever team does that the best on both sides of the ball, a lot of times you're going to win that game. So I agree. Figuring out tackle, getting a plan at tackle is not just one.
Even the passing game. It might have been one of the worst years that I can remember the Saints run unit has been as a whole. Just anytime it seemed you handed the ball off, you were lucky to get 3-4 yards, and that was it.
Right. It'd be nice if you, like, you don't have to necessarily excel at both run blocking and pass blocking. It'd be nice if you did. But you do have to be good at one. Like, I do need you to be a good unit at one of those two things, and I don't think they could say that about either. And so there's going to be a lot of changes with the offense and how the blocking schemes work at all. So maybe that helps. There should be a little bit more deception in this offense, and that helps the offensive line. It slows down the defense, and that any split second you gain through scheme helps the player in a one-on-one matchup. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, that's the one. There's a lot of things the Saints have done this offseason. One thing they have not done in any tangible way is address the offensive tackle situation. So, again, we talked about this. Like, you know, what's going to annoy people is when the Saints draft an offensive tackle at 14 and 45. I think that might be how you do it. But, all right, let's move forward. You know, there's a few things that you could work on. I think you need one more veteran body in the wide receiver room. I don't think it's necessarily a top priority, because I think kind of like with Jarvis Landry a couple of years ago, you can wait this out and find someone who's like, hey, I just want to get a 1 year prove it deal and we'll see what happens, like you did with Jarvis. Everyone was clamoring for the Saints to sign Jarvis all offseason. They waited and ended up getting him on a very team friendly deal. And so I think that's what you do. But one way or another, I do think you need to add a body in that room, because right now your only real veteran receiver who's expected to make an impact as a receiver is Cedric Wilson. And I don't think that's going to be enough. I want to see some older guys, some guys who have been there, some good team leader type guys, one or more that you bring in to just kind of, I don't know, be the adult in that room. Right. And so a guy like Hunter Renfrow, obviously, is still out there. I would not be surprised if he's a guy who you look at and you say, hey, we're going to see what happens. Maybe later in this offseason, you bring him in. But that's always something that happens. It's like you get through the draft, teams figure out what their needs are, and these veteran guys suddenly start getting looked at. And so I think that's probably on my list.
Yeah, I would agree with you too, especially you just need that big possession type receiver. And I know a lot of folks are hoping to see more from A.T. Perry going into this year. But I want someone to go along with that just because, you know, I want a proven big body receiver. I don't know even who might be available still on the market. You mentioned a Jarvis Landry. I know he was clamoring on Twitter recently that, you know, he could still make an NFL team today and that he should have a shot somewhere, which is interesting to me. I just don't think that the Saints would be bringing him back, though.
Yeah, he's not thrilled with his lack of prospects. But yeah, I think if you really want a big-bodied receiver, I think you probably go draft a guy. I think I look at it, I'm of two minds about it, which is like, yeah, you probably do want a bigger-bodied guy, but those guys are tough to find in free agency, right? Like, it's not like there's these really talented big-bodied wide receivers that are just hanging around, unless your name is Mike Thomas. So I think those are two different things. Like, I want to see a veteran in that room because I think just like the safety group last year, like I love the idea of bringing in Jonathan Abram because I want a veteran guy who can help younger guys. Right. And he did. One of his main roles in that defensive meeting room was being a leader, you know, and even when he wasn't playing, he was having that impact. And that's the type of thing I think you need with the wide receiver. But I would love to see him go out and get, you know, Xavier Leggett. He was my pick in the mock draft for exactly that reason.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not going to add that veteran presence you want, but to me, yeah, I do want that big-bodied possession-type guy. You got speed with Olave and Shahid.
I agree. All right, move on. What is the next on the list, number three, top priorities left to address for the Saints? What you got?
Well, I don't know if it's a priority, but to me, like, there was all this talk about should or shouldn't the Saints trade away Marshawn Lattimore? I know they restructured his contract to make things a little bit easier to facilitate that, I guess. But man, oh man, to me, after seeing the Tennessee Titans just give away, get L'Jarius Sneed for, what was it, a third round pick and a swap of seventh rounders, there is no way in heck I am giving up Marshawn Lattimore for that little of a return. I don't care if he's disgruntled or not.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that sense of like, so there's two things. So there's two ways to look at this. One is like, okay, would you trade Marshawn Lattimore for a fourth round pick and a swap of seventh rounders? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. And I don't think you're going to give him away for nothing. Like I said, we're in an earlier episode, going into this offseason, one of my top priorities for the Saints was making sure that you don't have to trade Marshawn Lattimore, right? You mend those fences however you can. Right. And then, because the only way you're going to get a reasonable return for Marshawn is if you're willing to wait it out. And that's why I don't like, so I agree and I don't agree in the sense that I think people are overreacting to what the Chiefs got for L'Jarius Sneed in terms of whether the Saints will sign Marshawn Lattimore, because they're like, well, that's the market for a star wide receiver in the NFL. It's a different situation. And in large part because whoever traded for L'Jarius Sneed was going to be on the hook with a major contract they have to shell out. Right. And that's going to limit the market regardless, particularly early on in the process. And particularly in a situation where the other teams know that that is an that situation between Snead and the Chiefs was pretty much irreconcilable. Like, you were not, they were not going to give him that contract. Other teams knew that. So they're like, hey, you want to get something? Take it. And that's what happened. Now, with Marshawn, again, the important thing for the Saints is keeping themselves out of a situation like they were in CJ Gardner-Johnson, where you got to the end of training camp and you're like, well, no one bit. So now we have to just take whatever we can get. If you can avoid that and just figure it out, then I think, yeah, some team might get desperate and be like, okay, fine, we'll pay. What do you want for him? And I don't think the gap is that wide either. Like we were talking earlier, I think you're looking at like a third round pick with a playtime incentive to, you know, with a playtime caveat that if he plays this number percentage of snaps, it's a second round pick. And then maybe a future pick. And you're talking about 2025, not 2024. So like, I don't think that gap is that wide that you couldn't get there. But you have to be willing to play hardball and say no. Like, we're going to keep him. Like, he's a star player and we want him. If you want him, you're going to have to come get him. Now, the biggest reason I think a team would be more willing to pay a steeper trade price for Marshawn is the contract situation. Whereas Snead, you had to give him a major contract immediately to even bother trading for him. Marshawn's going to be under team control for two more seasons. So, and at a reasonable number, because that contract was signed two full seasons ago. And every year you see these markets get reset and reset and reset. You're talking about a guy who's going to be like a $16 million cap number and be your CB1. That's reasonable, especially if you're a team that wants to play aggressive man-to-man defense and doesn't think you have the personnel to do it. So, like, I agree, again, with the idea that you can't take a fourth-round pick from Marshawn and be like, okay, fine, we got it. But I also don't think that the trade value for Snead is necessarily going to be like, oh, they're not trading him now. The difficulty is, like, how do you mend those fences while also not guaranteeing to this guy you're not trading him? That's the real hurdle. And that's when I complain about, like, does DA understand how to manage personalities in a locker room? Can he get that out of people? Can he create that environment where people aren't sniping and doing all this and being disgruntled? That's my question. And if you can't do that, then I think he does get traded and you are going to get a crappy return.
See, to me, it's like, do we know, like, if Marshawn truly is unhappy, or is this just like whispers through the rumor mill kind of thing? Because to me, obviously, Marshawn hasn't popped off on social media or anywhere.
Yeah, we talked about this before coming on. One thing that is a benefit to the Saints in the Marshawn Lattimore situation is he hasn't gone scorched earth publicly. Right. So you could potentially go behind the scenes and be like, okay, can we just hash this out? Can we get this to work? You know, whereas like Mike Thomas nuked the situation like that.
You knew, right?
That will not be livable again for, you know, until your grandchildren are here. Like, it's, he went scorched earth and it's, yeah, and the houses are all, it's gone. There's no bridges to walk across. That doesn't seem to be the case with Marshawn, at least not publicly. So hopefully they can, right. Hopefully they can navigate that. But yeah, and you know, that kind of leads me into my last point, which is, you know, the next priority is going to be, who's your nickel corner? Because if you don't trade Marshawn, then I think it's probably Alante again, and you're going to have to figure that out. And that's why I kind of was erring on the side of like, hey, this might trade probably makes sense, because I don't want to stick Alante Taylor back at the nickel. I don't think that it's his best position. I don't think he particularly likes it. I think you could do better in terms of having a dedicated nickel corner and having Alante on the outside. So that's those two things are kind of 1A, 1B, or 3A, 3B, I guess. In terms of, if you trade Marshawn, then you do need to go find a dedicated nickel corner. If you don't trade Marshawn, then I think you're kind of looking at the same run it back from last year.
No, I agree there, because yeah, there doesn't seem to be that path for Alante to get to being, you know, CB1 or CB2, obviously, when you have Lattimore and Adebo.
Nope. I agree.
Agreed. I don't know what to make with Alante Taylor. Obviously, I think he's immensely talented, though, too. I'm not pushing Marshawn Lattimore out the door because I'm trying to make room for Alante Taylor kind of thing.
I mean, that's the tough question, right? I do think the Saints made it, had incentive to make it a financial situation where they could move on from Marshawn, and they had to do that early, and they did it. So now, does that mean you have created a scenario where you have to trade Marshawn? I don't know. That's going to be up to Marshawn. And we'll find out.
We'll have to get him on the podcast to talk about it.
Well, it's like, you're like, well, is he really disgruntled? I don't know. There's only one person who could answer that question satisfactorily. And he hasn't talked to the media since last training camp. So maybe we'll talk to him in training camp this year.
It just seems to be like one of those things that was festering or building. And I don't recall hearing anything from Marshawn on that aspect or any of the players either saying that, oh, you know, Lattimore's unhappy here. But it seems to be a general given at this point and why the Saints are considering, moving on from him.
Yeah, no, I agree. But let's wrap that point up. Is there anything else you want to hit?
Safety position, you mentioned. And is Howden going to be that guy, or do you go somewhere else there with Marcus May now out the mix?
Yeah, so I kind of classify that as like roster battles, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think, when you talk about, okay, what do they have left to address? I think they've addressed it in the way they're going to address it. They could theoretically go out and get Justin Simmons. Maybe he's a guy who late in the year or late in the offseason, his market hasn't developed the way he wanted, and he take a sweetheart deal, and suddenly you're really upgraded at the safety spot next to Tyrann Mathieu. But to me, I think you've done what you're going to do, and it's really just a question of who wins that job. And so I think you're going to see guys like Jonathan Abram, Jordan Howden, maybe some other names compete for that job. Last year we talked about how the CB2 job was an open competition at camp. And you saw Lonte Taylor and Paulson Adebo squaring off. I think that's what you're going to have with the safety position next to Tyrann Mathieu. But I don't think it's like in the sense of like, oh, they have to go do something right now. I don't see that as being the position, right? And I feel the same way about linebacker. Like, I think the Saints brought in Willie Gay to compete with Pete.
Right.
And we're going to see how that happens. Like, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Willie Gay is your week one starter because he just outplays Pete in camp. And that's just like, I think last year linebacker was not a position battle. This year, I think it is. So I think that's for another episode of like, okay, what are those position battles? But I agree. Like, one of my biggest questions is who's going to play next to Tyrann?
Yeah. And just when you mentioned, obviously the safety market, just a weird year for that. It just seems to be that, last year was running backs weren't getting paid. This year they got paid. Now it's like, oh, we're going to toss safeties down the chow line here in the NFL. It doesn't seem to be much market for them.
Yeah, maybe that works to the Saints' benefit. Maybe they end up benefiting from the fact that no one wants to play safeties and no one wants to pay safeties, and they're able to bring in Justin Simmons, like a guy like Justin Simmons on a sweetheart deal. But who knows? We'll see. Either way, I think we've hit it. I think we've done it. I think we've got the podcast.
We're back.
We're back, baby. But all right. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. Again, thanks everyone for putting up with my disappearance over the last month. Really, I should thank Steve and everyone else at WWL for picking up the slack.
No worries, man.
Because I have been useless. I have been out of the space.
Life happens, and sometimes life is more important than work.
yeah. But it does make coming back to work. Like starting work again is the tough part. It's like getting back into the rhythm of things. I've been sleeping on a couch for like the better part of a month, so getting back into an actual human bed was nice. One of the things that I've enjoyed the most has been going to sleep at like 8:30 the last couple days. I got these bags under my eyes. You can see I haven't been going to sleep. But anyway, that's it. We'll be back later in the week with another episode. I think we're going to do another mock draft. Catch back up on what's changed since the last one we did, which was about 2 weeks ago. So this would be number 3. So stay tuned for that. And as always, if you have any stuff you want to hear, hit me up on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can hit up the show at Saints_pod, Steve at Steve Geller, WWL. Check out WWL.com for the latest Saints news, notes, and analysis. And obviously, Sports Talk with Steve Monday through Friday, even though it's like only an hour and a half long when LSU baseball is playing.
Unreal. And also, you know, Crank It Up just started this week on Sports Talk. Mike D'Antilier missed the draft. He's been previewing. He's got his Inside the Draft 520 every day on Sports Talk. So make sure you catch that for sure.
Do it.
Do it. All right,
y'all. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Do that.